the Winning Idea Podcast, helping you create bigger, better advertising concepts faster. I'm Rob Aspinall, and in today's masterclass,
we're going to talk about how to sort your effective ideas from your ineffective ones, but also why it's important to have quote-unquote bad ideas. I use that term very loosely, because we don't really want to use good and bad per se. We'll also be looking at how to take your creative thinking to the next level, to really ramp things up. And it's at once advanced, yet also very, very simple. So let's look at what separates an effective idea from an ineffective idea. First of all, we need to get it into our minds that there's no such thing as a bad idea. There's just an idea that isn't suited to the goal at hand. Either an idea is unsuitable, or it's not relevant, or it's just not optimal. Rather than good and bad, see it as effective or ineffective, as suitable or unsuitable, or as optimal or suboptimal. What we're aiming for is to not only come up with the right kind of campaigns, it's about optimization. It's a skill to discern between what makes an effective and an ineffective idea. And when we understand the theory, we can build and apply this skill, really. We can get used to doing it. Now, the people who are best at what they do, they're like this because they make better decisions. And this is what creative thinking is all about, really. What separates you from the competition and how consistent you are in your results is the decisions you're making as you're preparing to come up with ideas, and then actually in the midst of the conceptual process itself, coming up with the ideas. The mindset you should start off with is not self-censoring, certainly not at first, because the ideas you initially have, you may find they actually grow on you, a little bit like when you hear a song on the radio. When you first hear it, if it registers at all, it might be that you just don't like the song. But then once you hear it three or four times, suddenly you're singing it in the shower, and suddenly it makes sense to you. Or something might happen in your life that the song becomes relevant, the lyrics are relevant to your circumstance, and that changes the way you see the song. We need to give the ideas time to breathe, and maybe we need to show them to somebody else first as well, who may be able to recognise that, no, this is a good idea. And we also, conversely, may see other people's ideas, and they don't realise how good and effective they are, and we can tell them as well, and we can encourage them. So I think when we're working as individuals or teams, we should be sharing the so-called bad results with the so-called good. So if you have ideas you think are a little bit weaker, share them anyway. Don't be afraid to put them on the table. Because a sketchy thought may actually spark another thought or idea that's much stronger. So you may have a half idea and you think, oh, that's not really a whole idea, it doesn't quite make sense. Well, put it out in front of you anyway, or in front of anybody that you're working with, because that could spark a much better idea in the process. Also, a half idea can actually be combined with another half idea. You find this all the time. I've certainly had this experience, so has Chris, and we have together as a team, where we have one strand of thinking and another strand of thinking, and it doesn't always work this way, but sometimes it's just a happy coincidence, and they just come together and make a more compelling whole. Plus, getting your bad ideas down on paper actually makes room for stronger concepts. It's almost like clearing space and getting them out of the way. Because you know what it's like. The first line that you might write in an email, or the first joke that you might make to someone, not necessarily the best one. And later you think, oh, I should have said this, or I should have said that. That would have been a funnier thing to say. So give yourself a chance to get the so-called rubbish out of the way, if you like. And also, by seeing what wrong looks like, what you perceive as wrong, it actually can help conceive what right looks like. For instance, let's say you're looking at a picture of a whale. Now, in isolation, that may not look huge. Yet if you put a cat next to it, suddenly you got perspective and you think that whale's massive and the cat's tiny. You take the whale away, then the cat doesn't look as small. I don't know what a whale and a cat would be doing together at the same time, who knows? But sometimes you need perspective. So the wrong almost gives you a clearer sense of the right. So with our bad ideas down and the juices flowing, how can we get into the next level of thinking? How can we really raise our game in terms of the adverts and the ideas that we're producing? Well, all top-level ideas have a couple of things in common. First of all, they capture the attention of the audience. That seems like a bit of a no-brainer, but you have to do that. But also, they actually create emotional investment. First of all, let's look at capturing the attention of the audience. Now, The world's a noisy place, so unsurprisingly, our campaigns need to capture the attention in the first place. All these things competing for their sensory attention, you know, listen to this, look at this, feel this, experience this. You have to stand out in a busy space. You almost have to cut through the noise. So if we don't capture the attention in the first place, people aren't going to, they're just not going to engage anyway with what we're saying. So we need to basically stop the audience in their tracks, or at the very least catch their eye, or in fact their ear. But we don't actually need to completely convince someone there and then. Maybe they're driving down the road, maybe they're walking past a poster, maybe they're just flicking through the TV, maybe they're seeing an online banner, maybe they're just quickly reading an email that gets sent to them, or maybe they're browsing through social media, you know, they're scrolling through and they see an advert. Now, whatever it is, doesn't need to tell the whole story necessarily. You can tell the story through a coordinated campaign, but more importantly, it doesn't need to convince them to take the action right then. Because the latest thinking is that it takes up to 16 points of contact with a campaign for the audience to take the action and to buy or to do whatever you want them to do. So that's 16 separate touch points. However, we do need to get their attention and interest at each touch point to a certain degree. We want them to consume the message. We want them to see the imagery, hear the words, read the words, see the strapline each time. So we do need to capture the attention and keep it for long enough to deliver that message. You imagine pinning down an animal long enough to jab it with a needle. That's essentially what we're trying to do in a really crude way of putting it across. So to this end, an effective message must speak to people. And it must speak to people in two ways. First of all, it must speak to their heart through the emotional subconscious mind. And B, it must also talk to the head through the rational conscious. Here we're talking about emotional benefits, and then we're backing it up with rational features. Now, again, we don't need to do that in every single communication. For instance, a billboard's not going to go through all the features on an iPhone, but by the time they come to the website, obviously it will then go through the more rational stuff and all the sub-benefits to convince them to buy. The reason we combine both is because where the heart and head go, the body follows, and it always follows in the form of action. Again, we've got the subconscious mind on board, it wants the thing, the conscious mind's agreeing to it, so action ensues. This means when we're creating our ideas, we really want to not only to grab the attention, but also to create this emotional investment. We actually want to aim to make them laugh, smile, gasp, recoil, raise an eyebrow in surprise, whatever it is. We almost like need to keep them entertained in some way, even if that form of entertainment is to shock and scare them and repel them in some way. It's all about pattern interruption. Pattern interruption snaps people out of autopilot and turns them onto our message. Now, what are we talking about there? Well, what we're talking about is that 95% of behavior is habitual. You're on autopilot 95% of the time. That's what it's thought to be. So what do you think needs to happen? We need to get them to pay conscious attention long enough to take this message in. We need to turn their heads, if you like, and really tune into our message just long enough for us to deliver it. Because otherwise it's just going to get lost. If they're leafing through a magazine and you don't get them to stop, it's just like wallpaper, essentially. If they're watching TV and not really paying any kind of attention, they're not going to remember the message the next time they see it. There's just going to be no connection there. So this is what pattern interruption is all about. Hey, just a quick time out here to mention our free course, Ideas Unlocked. It's an online video course that will show you how your creative mind works and how to get the most out of it, so you can tap more of your genius, boost your creative brain power, and make it way easier to come up with ideas. Simply visit thewinningidea.com and enroll for free. Plus, as a thank you for listening to the pod, you can use the code ROB to save 20% on all our classes and courses that you'll find on the site. And if you like these masterclasses we do here, then be sure to check out our course, Ideas on Demand. It's our flagship course, and it will make the biggest difference in your creative output. So I'd highly recommend checking it out. Just visit thewinningidea.com. You'll find a link and a reminder of the voucher code in the show notes. Create emotional investment. This is the second part of this little 1-2 punch we've got. And this is all about speaking to the essence of who our audience are. What do they like? How do they identify with the world? What are the goals for the future? How would they like to live, or what problem are they trying to solve? We're always trying to solve one problem or another, and we're always trying to strive to achieve something different or better in our lives, whether it's already been done for us or we've done our own research into who the audience are and we've got into their shoes so that we can see beyond our own biases. And when we see the world from their perspective, we can feel the emotions that they feel and we can actually understand where they're coming from better. But not only do we need to understand their emotional point of view, we need to do another little trick. Now, what we're doing is creating an open loop for our audience to complete. So what does that mean? What would we mean when we're talking about open loops? Well, the open loop is another name for a cliffhanger. You'll most often hear the term open loop used in things like TV and film, but you'll also hear it used in, for instance, email marketing. And let's say you're watching an episode of Breaking Bad or Game of Thrones. It's the big moment that the episode ends on that leaves something open in the story. And then it says to be continued. And, you know, you think, oh, I've got to wait another week to watch it. But you know you're going to watch it because it's left you hanging, essentially. So these cliffhangers are also called open loops. It's called an open loop because there's a gap in what's just happened and what's going to happen. And you need to resolve that gap. Now, humans are actually hardwired to want to close any loops that are left open in the telling of a story, and there's a good reason for that. There's a good reason why a rational, intelligent, successful professional, for instance, will stay up later than they should to read the end of a novel or the end of a chapter, knowing that the next day they're going to be super tired, it's going to affect their life. And that's because the pain of an open loop, the pain of something unresolved, is greater than the pain of, you know, being too tired the next day. The trouble is, a lack of resolution essentially is uncertainty. And when our brains were wiring up, our ancient ancestors were running about, uncertainty could spell death. Not knowing what's coming around the corner, whether it's a saber-toothed tiger or whatever it is dangerous. So we're hardwired to avoid it. We're hardwired to find out what's happening and resolve these things. So we desperately want to close any loops left open in the telling of a story, because when we do that, we know what's coming around the corner. We can predict stuff and we can survive. And again, it's going back to these really basic functions in the limbic brain that people sometimes call the reptile brain. So when you come to creating your ideas, always make sure you build open loops into them. Now, you may be doing this automatically already. Even if you are, it's useful to be consciously aware of what you're doing because you just have more control over it and you can double check that you're doing this to a good extent. So as we've covered, open loops in ideas, they work very similar, but not quite the same to film and TV and chapters in novels. And also in terms of marketing emails. But open loops in actual concepts are a little bit different. It's not that there's a cliffhanger per se. It's just that there's actually a small gap in the telling of the story. So what do we mean by that? Well, in other words, we don't explain absolutely everything. Instead, we leave a gap within the copy and or the imagery. And then the audience has to do a little bit of work to fill in that gap. Because they have to do a little bit of work, they actually spend the time investing in our advert, which means we're not just grabbing their attention, we're keeping it for long enough to get our message across. And we're also creating emotional investment at the same time. Now, the gap can't be too big. In other words, it can't be too abstract. It's got to be recognisable, if you like, what's going on to make the leap. But it can't be too small either. In other words, it can't be too predictable or boring. Let's look at an example. And this is a really basic example because we want to show how it works on even the most mundane kind of adverts. We can improve and elevate just by adding an open loop. Now, this is one without an open loop. We're just selling some milk on the bottle of the milk. It's now half price. It was £2, two British pounds. It's now £1. And then we also have a date the offer ends on the sticker. And, you know, if you wanted to go to town on this, you could have a big flash with offer ends this date. But this is assuming it's just an advert. Let's say it's in the store. You're walking past it. You get this advert and it says half price milk, limited time only. Now, you might go, yeah, okay, half price milk. Let's say it's colourful. It grabs your attention. So it's doing at least half the job. But is it creating any emotional investment? Are you having to do any of the work? No, you're not, because the image says it, and then the headline says it as well, and there's no gap. There's no gap there between image and headline. Now let's look at one with an open loop. We've added another dimension to it. Now it's still only milk, it's very subtle, it's no big deal, but we've just made a little bit of a pun. We're no longer saying exactly what the image says in the headline. Milk it while it lasts. In other words, take advantage of this offer before it runs out. Now people have to make the tiny little leap between the colloquial phrase milk it, in other words, to extract more out of something, while it lasts. So don't miss out, get this. Well, they have to do a tiny little task which forces them to engage more with the advert than otherwise. And in the process, even if they don't consciously think this, they actually give themselves a pat on the back. Now, the golden rule in advertising, essentially creative advertising certainly, is never have the headline saying the same thing as the image. Because there's just no engagement required, and then the person looking at the ad, they don't have anything to do, and therefore it almost like washes over them. Now this means that the copy must tell one half of the story and the imagery the other. When I say copy and imagery, it could be in a poster, it could be in a press advert, it could be on the TV in terms of a script and moving images. It really doesn't matter what it is. The audience then connects the two in the middle, and as a result, they give themselves a little pat on the back, say, well done. In other words, they give themselves credit for closing the loop, and they get the relief of closing the loop. They get a tiny little dopamine high as a result. So let's look at some other examples of how this kind of works. Audiences give themselves a pat on the back when they, first of all, work out who the murderer is on a TV show or in a novel. They might give themselves a pat on the back when they get the punchline in a joke. They may get the cultural reference made in a movie that maybe somebody else or most people they know won't get, but they get because they know movies really well. They may give themselves a pat on the back when they know the answer to a question on a TV game show, or if they figure out the meaning to a song lyric, or if they answer a question correctly in a seminar or class. Now, the main thing and the correlating thing in all these examples is that the audience gets a positive feeling when they associate that feeling with the thing they're interacting with. And in terms of our job as creative advertisers, we want them to attach that positive feeling, that pat on the back, with our brand or product or service or whatever we are promoting.
Hey, thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed today's masterclass. If you did, you'd be doing me a massive, massive favor by just leaving a quick review and letting other creative people know about the podcast. In the meantime, don't forget to subscribe for future episodes, and remember to check out our courses too. There's the free one, Ideas Unlocked, and Ideas On Demand. So until the next time, thanks for listening and happy creating.